My name is Bei Jiang. I'm 48 years old. Today is January 21st, and I'm speaking with Amy Bergevoir, who is my colleague. I'm recording this interview in Zoom. I'm living in South Burlington, Vermont.
My name is Amy Bourgeois. Today is January 21st, and I'm speaking with Bei Jiang, who is a professional colleague of mine at the University of Vermont. I am from New Haven, Vermont.
How did we first meet? What is your first memory about me?
I first met you at Grand Rounds at the University of Vermont Medical Center in January 2020, so a year ago. You had approached me at the end of my presentation, and we had talked about my presentation on embracing inclusion in the workplace, and we talked about collaborating on some projects in the future. My impression was that you were enthusiastic about innovation and education.
You know what, Amy? I believe that's our second time meeting with each other. I believe I first met you at the Christmas party at a restaurant on Williston Road. We talked quite a bit as we tasted the desserts at the party. Don't you remember? My first impression is, hey, this lady is very good at talking to people.
Yes, of course. December is always so busy for me because we are recruiting new resident physicians. And so I meet so many new people in a short period of time. And at these parties, I'm also meeting the spouses of all my current residents, and I have 16 of them. And I'm just trying to remember everyone's names. But now that you mention it, I do remember meeting you at that party, and it was over desserts. They were very good. And my impression was similar to that of when I met you the second time. When we met in December, I recall thinking, you know, how lucky is she that she gets to spend her time creatively developing curriculum and educational initiatives, and that I wish I could devote all my time to that.
Okay, I see.
Is there a particular person or story that stands out in your mind when you think about your work during this time?
Well, the workshop you organized. And how did you come up with that idea?
So I was meeting with our department wellness committee. I'm on that committee, and we were discussing how COVID-19 was not only infecting people, but how it was impacting people, noting that the changes they had made were not only physical, but how these sudden changes in a short period of time had a mental and emotional effect on people. We asked ourselves, like, what could we do to help people in our department cope with all of this sudden anxiety, worry, and stress, and given the unknown and uncertainty of the future, use it to cope going forward. Reflection is a powerful tool we can use to find meaning in our experiences to help us build and gain strength. It allows us to ask ourselves hard questions to get to know ourselves in a deeper way and connect with our inner self. Reflective practice is a systematic process and an ongoing learning method of looking at an experience with serious thought or consideration, taking meaning from it, and then using that meaning to gain insight. That insight helps us recognize patterns, develop coping strategies, reframe, and positively move forward. I've used reflective practice for many years, both personally and professionally, and I teach a workshop in reflective practice to educators. So I offered to conduct a similar workshop for my department. My hope was to teach others in our department how to use reflection as an acute, immediate coping mechanism, but also how to practice it as a method for reframing their experiences into something positive and useful should they or we meet up with darker times as we venture down this uncertain path into the future.
Amy, I'm very grateful that you organized such a workshop about using reflection to cope with a particular time of the COVID era. The workshop helps me socialize with my colleagues. Though online, I get to know the people so that I wouldn't otherwise. It helps me to look at the inside of myself more objectively, analyzing what I did well and what I didn't do so well. The workshop also allows me to share my feelings during this challenging time with others, motivating me to calmly cope with the challenge. you know, to cope with this challenging package offered by the pandemic. The family, the work, the stress, the uncertainty, and many other things.
So through that, what, you know, have you learned about yourself?
I realize I really enjoy creating something by writing stuff thanks to your workshop. It reminds me I do have passion in writing and maybe some gifts as well. So I will hone my skills in writing both professionally and personally.
And what about the future most excites you?
The unknown.
So many find the unknown of the future right now to be stressful and sad. How have you used reflection or reframed your experiences during this time to make the future of the unknown exciting?
Well, the misfortune I experienced over 20 years ago because of a very serious compound fracture on my leg I had when I was 23, I had the experience of being locked in one bed for 4 months. After that, when I first got onto the floor, the moment my feet touched the floor, I actually didn't even know how to walk. My 83-year-old grandma actually had to teach me how to walk like she did when I was 1 year old. I appreciate any day I can walk. As long as I can walk, any day is a good day. It can be very fortunate, I realized, later on in my life, to experience some unfortunate thing when you are young. You know, the life after that can just turn into a treasure as a whole by itself.
Wow, that's an incredible story. And I'm impressed with your ability to reflect on a challenging experience in your life and reframe that into a positive coping mechanism so that going forward, you know, you have the ability and determination to tackle other difficult situations. Given the current state of affairs, a global pandemic, racial injustices, and inequities and political turmoil, what are your hopes for the future of academic medicine and education as a whole?
I realize the truth has become a very luxurious thing these days. Keeping an open mind and thinking independently can get more challenging, as we are very likely to be surrounded by the information we like to know. It is a good idea to respect the facts, which would be harder to be found. Yet I'm confident that we will not give up seeking the truth and happiness.
Thank you. Okay, that sounds a lot like finding the balance between realism and idealism, knowing what is factual truth, but then using that to seek what is ideal.